the blink of an eye. It's almost the end of May. We'll have a new song for June. Let's take suggestions immediately because I love my ABBA, but we're moving on.
Yeah, you were real frustrated there once it started again.
Well, it's a good tune, but I got to get to the country stage, Bud stage vibes. I think we need a little summertime tune.
Is the Dirks concert, which we're giving
one
tickets
week.
Away for,
one week.
Is it June 1? June it 1? Might have to be Dirks for that reason alone.
Could be into that.
But you'll have to go through the catalog.
Not Long Trip Alone that we did yesterday.
No, that was a little...
People be falling asleep listening to the Fan Morning Show at 6 a.m.
Or something with a little, bit of juice to it. Yeah,
that's a week away. So enjoy your final weeks of May here. You got a little bit of a summer taste yesterday in your golf experience.
I wouldn't say that. I was like wearing a hoodie golfing.
Yeah, you picked a bad day. I looked at the weather the next 8 days and it is... stunning.
It did get pretty nice.
You picked a bad one. Okay.
I will say that. It got pretty nice. The first like 3-4 holes were a little dicey and then it was pretty good from there.
And how'd you shoot? And give us the scoop. What was the score? How are you feeling?
It was pretty good, honestly.
Okay.
It was pretty good. As good as I could ask for the first round of the year. Didn't necessarily score. Was a little bit of a disaster around the green.
Did you have fun?
Had a lot of fun.
That's all that matters, Justin.
Tee to green was brilliant, I thought, for me. In the
so the irons were dialed?
The irons were dialed. The driver survived, only lost one ball. But I had a couple moments around the green that really, really
was this
me.
A course that had a lot of water?
No.
I like
no,
the sound
and
of
that's
this
probably
course
why
already.
I only lost one ball. But it's like, it's not like, I won't put the course on blast because I'm going to criticize it. But it's not like the hardest course in the world. But they redid all the greens and they're all like, it's like you're at the National when you're on the green. Like, I four-putted. I was on in two and four-putted a hole. The old double
That's
bogey.
That's pretty disappointing.
Double end. Bogey when you're putting for birdie is tough.
That's rough, Justin.
Yeah. They were hard, man. I was not prepared for them. I thought they'd be, like, early on in the season and not the greatest course in the world, that I'd be able to just, like, jam some putts at the hole and not really have to worry about it, but... they were rolling around.
That's the vibe I'm going for on Saturday. Picked a course that is, you know, first round of the year course. There is a difference.
Yeah, of course.
There's a first round of the year course and headed out. Got my tee time on Saturday.
Okay,
but so
you're ready
I'll
to go.
I'll take your notes from what worked for you today.
You really should.
Because you got the irons dialed.
Also had a moment of the bunker. Three attempts to get out of a bunker.
Did you think of bunker?
I didn't. I was a little bit more like I had nice thoughts about bunker and I had only negative thoughts in that moment.
Yeah, if I'm headed to the bunker, the beach that day, it's downhill.
I feel like you're gonna, the first time you step into a bunker, you're just going to like smile and laugh to yourself.
Yeah, but then if I end up there more than once, I'll be mad.
Yeah, that's true.
When I come home. The problem with when I get into the bunker is like, and I think when we've golfed before, is I know you're not supposed to hit the ball like flush, but I cook the ball out of there. Like you got to be standing aware on the other side because
you gotta have your if you're playing with the Ailish, you have to have your head on a swivel if you're around.
I hit the ball clean out of the bunker, and that's not the point because it goes into the surrounding course.
I'm usually okay in the bunker, but I was not prepared to hit a bunker shot yesterday.
Yeah, that's all right. See, that's something you can't really practice, right? Like you're not going home.
I mean,
from the bunker,
you can't at
your
home.
Yeah,
I feel like you have to, in order to like truly practice that, you have to belong to a course.
Exactly.
Like you go there and you can hit balls for an hour and then go there for 10 minutes and do it.
Yeah.
Get a little dirty.
Yeah.
There's not like, you know, the place that I went.
That's
there was
a first round of the year problem.
There was barely grass at the driving range I went to. There was no bunker that I could just hang out in for 10 minutes.
First round of the year problems. You'll get there. We are officially golfing next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we will have content every baby Friday about how we played.
Yeah, so just if you like golf talk or us talking about our golf games,
baby Fridays.
Tune in Baby Friday.
Are you sore this morning? Because
I am actually a little sore. I don't think I'm as sore as you, though.
I did something yesterday.
you're acting like it's like you did a bad thing.
But,
you worked out.
Well, I went to a new gym that has... no free promos. A new gym that you've probably seen all over the city that has classes that you sign up for.
You say no free promos, but like if you throw that on your social media, you might be going there for free.
Okay, anyway.
I'm just saying you might want to talk about it.
I went there yesterday and because I was looking, like I obviously we try to be physical humans and get in shape.
It's tough with this job.
It is, and I have felt like I'm kind of in a rut in terms of like just wanting to do something different for working out. And I honestly miss like going into a team like dynamic where you're training like an athlete. And you're not like, I go to Pilates and I go sit on my Peloton and it's like, okay, it's kind of solo. I need someone to yell in my face, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So I went to this.
I love getting yelled at.
Yeah, and it makes a difference. Like, you work way harder when there's other people around. I'm competitive. I'm like, I'm going to do more than this chick beside me. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, I went yesterday. I can't raise my arms over my head this morning. Shampooing last night. I'm like, oh, no. You know, and you raise them up and you know you're going to be screwed the next morning. So because, and I have a very important statement to make that we as a society have progressed past the need to do burpees ever in our lives. Why?
Well, let me just stop you there. This gym is not the right one for you.
Central.
If you're done with burpees,
who invented burpees?
Every single time you go there.
It is ridiculous. I know that people are running for to be the mayor. I would put my hat in the ring to just abolish burpees as my entire campaign.
Now? Do you have more respect for my friend, my former roommate at university?
Yes.
Set the burpees world record?
That is wild.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, everything is burpees. Screw off. I don't want to do another burpee. That and also the ropes. The ropes are another illness that I don't want to walk down.
Now,
that.
Did you grab the, were you a hardo and grab the heavy ropes?
Of course I did,
like
Justin.
There's a gradient of, you know.
Ropes and burpees. Well, I'll be feeling it today.
Just go with the lighter ropes next time.
I won't because I'm competitive.
Okay.
Anyway, I feel good. I feel sore. Well, it's a nice feeling to wake up feeling sore
though sometimes. You were competitive with the instructor, right? So like you just like nodded off the person who runs the place and took the heavy ropes from her?
I did. So it's
That's
my own
move.
Fault this morning, but it does feel good. You know, wake up, you're like, oh, I did something yesterday. I feel like an athlete. It was nice to train like that, mm-hmm. you know? Anyway, so we'll see how long I can handle this.
Yeah, so you got your golf round Sunday. Saturday. You better strategize
this. I'm going to have to hit
like,
the
if you go Friday, I think you should go today.
Yeah.
It's a little different
I
than
can't
what
have
you
an excuse yet. When I go out on Saturday that I can't raise my arms over my head because I did 480 burpees in 45 minutes.
Not even the burpees. Like, let's when's the last time you did, like, heavy squats?
In college?
Yeah, so, like, if you go today.
My legs are going to be quivering.
This place does a weight day on Thursdays. I've been there as well before. You might do, like, 100 weighted squats, and you won't be able to walk Saturday.
Well, I'll just get a cart.
There you go. You'll be
but
all right.
But no, I'm okay. Like, I lower body strength, and, you know, I feel like that's a bit more of a hockey thing than my upper body strength is shot. Like, I'm like a noodle.
Mm.
Like, it's like, I can't lift anything other than bunker, and he's getting heavy. So, we'll see. But yeah, the arms are sore this morning, but burpees are just, they need to be abolished.
Feels good.
I think they've got to be the worst thing, the worst workout part. I don't know. 590.
Yeah,
what do you hate to doing? For me, it was burpees.
I would throw like the jumping lunges into that.
I'd rather do that.
I'd rather the burpee.
If we had a competition, we had 5 minutes to do something, I would jumping lunge for 5 minutes over burpeeing.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how much I hate them.
5 minutes straight of.
Maybe it's the getting up and down. I feel like I have vertigo.
I feel like at least you get a point where you can rest, where you're on the mat for like a half second.
No, that's because then it's a fake rest because you're up. You don't really get to enjoy it.
I guess so.
Anyway, burpees. One last tidbit. I've officially signed up to play hockey in the fall.
Wow.
I will be
in the fall. So this is all connected then. You're getting ready for hockey.
No, this actually happened last night. A friend of mine reached out and they're looking for a player. It's a legitimate team. Like,
okay. What do you mean a legitimate team?
Like, we play in a league, and we go to provincials, and we play. I know! I'm joining a real hockey league, Justin.
Wow.
And the girl.
What's the league called?
I don't know.
You have to figure that out.
I'll get it for you. But, like, we truly play in, like, real hockey league with real athletes, and the roster is a bunch of girls I went to college with.
That's amazing.
And played against. They're all NCAA D1 players, and we're all joining this league. I think it's like senior A or something, like a real women's.
You're back.
This is like a real hockey. Like, we play games. We go to provincials.
We play games.
This isn't beer league, and they play Friday nights and Sundays. So I thought, honestly, that's perfect for our schedule.
I was going to say, like,
there's no Wednesday night random games.
That's awesome. So how does that work? Do you have to pay?
Yeah. There's like, it is, it's real. I think also.
But if it's real, they pay you.
No, It's like when you sign up for a real hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a
high level.
I'm not playing pro here, but I'm playing the highest level you can play without playing pro.
Okay.
I know. I got told figure this out.
Is the team like called something specific? Or,
I'll get you the info on that.
Or is like you make it up a team?
No,
name?
I think we are actually a team in a league. Probably, maybe.
That's exciting.
I'm playing at Scotiabank Ponds. See you there.
Look at that.
I know. I'm excited, but I got to get my stuff together.
I think that's important. Like, you put your stake in the ground. Like, we're both getting a little older. It's a little hard to just like pick it up again. Like, if you waited, maybe it wouldn't have happened.
Wait till
for you.
The Wake and Rakes come fall. We'll be putting money on Ailish debut. Get back in the.
We're going to have to get lines.
I got
to
get the. Where am I going to play? I'm new to this team. Am I a fourth line grind? Do I have to work my way up? Are there tryouts? We have a real coach. This is legit.
You have a coach?
I'm pretty sure we have a coach. A manager has been sending me emails already. I signed up last night and I got like a whole join our group chat discussion thing.
So is that who you're paying? Like, I don't get it. You pay, but
league
you have people
fees.
Running
you pay
the
like
team?
A league fee. Like, someone's got to pay for ice.
Yeah.
I'm playing real hockey come the fall.
Okay. I'm looking forward to hearing more about this.
I'll let you know about their information, but the roster is good. I was kind of worried actually when I saw all the names that I recognized.
Drop one name I know.
Well, you know my girl, Kate Martini.
Okay.
Went to Yale.
She went to Yale? Played hockey at Yale? I didn't know that.
Do you even know my friends?
No.
Everybody on this roster.
I've never met her. I didn't know she played hockey.
Everyone on my roster of this team played D1 hockey.
Okay.
We better be the front runner of this league or else who are we playing? Anyway, more to come. I'm excited. Excited to get back into it.
You're wearing your Markham Thunder today,
too. I know.
I'm
fired up, team.
Wow.
It's all about being an athlete this morning.
You just decided yesterday, I'm going to be an athlete again.
And then things change real quick, eh? One workout class, and, and then you join a basically lower-level pro women's team. So, yeah, okay, great. That's your... That's where we're at, end of May. Okay. Florida Panthers. We played a little clip off the top. They did it. They're rolling on into the Stanley Cup Final with the sweep.
Mm-hmm.
That game ended in just, you don't even think twice now when Matthew Tkachuk has the puck with the dying seconds tied 3-3 and he puts the puck in the net with 4.5 seconds left to win the game.
Yeah, 2 overtime winners, 1 winner where you can like slide across the ice on your knees. So it's basically an overtime winner because
he
knew they won.
Hey, CC said series clinching goal when he called the game.
Yeah.
So he, imagine.
Or if he was holding his butt for the 4 seconds. Then.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of a bold statement to be like, all right, the series clinching. And then you got 4.5 seconds to be like, you better not
I
score.
I always wonder that with soccer announcers. Like someone will score the 2-0 goal in like the 65th minute and they're calling game on that. It's like,
oh, wow,
are you
that's
worried?
No
are you
chance.
That happens all the time
yeah,
in soccer.
I couldn't do
like,
that.
At some point, some teams have had miracle comebacks mm-hmm. that have bitten announcers before, but they are always so because they want the call to be good.
That's true.
And they only get
because that's
couple
what we play in the
game.
Morning on the radio. So
exactly.
But anyway,
everyone's going to bump in. Every radio show is going to be bumping in that goal in England or wherever they're playing that game. So that's why they do it. But yeah, you're right. To the point of Matthew Tkachuk. What is the formula simple? You just need one star player who's absolutely clutch and a goaltender who has. Maybe like a low floor, but also yep. the highest ceiling possible.
Cause that kind of sounds like it.
They're kind of riding two players. This I don't want to be too critical of them because they're going to the Stanley Cup Final and they're probably going to win the Stanley Cup.
I think
but
they might.
This is one of the worst teams on paper to go,
well,
right?
They only got into the playoffs, and I did some like revisionist history. They got into the playoffs, I think it was like the second or third last game of the season when Chicago beat Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the dying moments of the year. If Chicago hadn't beat Pittsburgh, this team would not be in the playoffs. They've now gone 11-1.
And Bedard
since
wouldn't have been
facing
in Chicago.
Elimination to the Bruins.
Crazy.
11-1 since they were almost golfing with us.
And that's Bob, too. But that's when Bob came in because
mm-hmm.
Alex Lyon, your guy, I would say your guy.
Yeah, it's not my guy.
You always say it's not. He started. Like they were just like searching for something. They were. Loss. They shouldn't have made the playoffs at all. They got very, very lucky to get in.
And look at them now.
They didn't start off the playoffs well, but they hung in long enough until they put in the guy who can play at a Hall of Fame level like Sergei Bobrovsky. And then Matthew Tkachuk's just decided both in practice and literally to be the Grim Reaper wearing black mm-hmm. to everyone's funerals. He wore black again last night. It was the Carolina Hurricanes funeral.
Yeah, so he's worn the same outfit. Now an all-black outfit for, I think it was Game 5 against Toronto, and he wore it last night. This is maybe his elimination outfit, but He's on to something. He is the Grim Reaper. You put it right. They've slayed just a list of dragons to get here. Boston, what, best ever NHL team.
Like, statistically, historical.
Historic. Then you play the Toronto Maple Leafs, who were next in line for that.
Biggest then, stage possible.
Boom. And then you play the Carolina Hurricanes, who also were a pretty great regular season team. And you have gone 11-1.
Yeah,
since then.
It seems like nothing can stand in their way. And sometimes you have that and you get it to the final and you're like, oh, immediately humbled by someone who's been doing it way better on the other side against other competition. But I don't feel that way this time. I feel like Florida, I don't know this actually for sure, but I think Florida will be the favorite when the series
interesting,
begins.
Interesting, because
like they're going to be the lesser
they'll
team.
They'll have the Golden Knights.
They've been
most
the underdog
likely.
Every single step of the way. It's likely they're going to be the Golden Knights, who did win a division. But I got a feeling now that things have changed.
Well, I'm going to just pull up the odds and see if they have a future.
You might be wrong. They might be slight dogs.
I feel like they're going to be slight dogs, but I don't like. I think that they've been writing this crazy. Sometimes it's just a storybook, and I'm not writing it yet. But we're in the final chapter, and sometimes that is. I'm enjoying kind of rallying behind it. I know they defeated the Maple Leafs. But this doesn't happen much in real life, right? Where you get to watch a real storybook team go on a miraculous run. It's kind of like when the Blues won. Remember, they were the worst team in the NHL in January, and they won the Cup that year. I know the Panthers aren't on that same stage, but they have done some pretty miraculous things to get to this point. They are plus 105 to win the Cup. Vegas minus 112 to win the Cup.
Okay, they're not even
the Stars
yet.
Plus 2,700 to win the Cup.
Okay, so they might be decent underdogs. Yeah, it's wild. There is a learning thing here. I'm not sure what it is. I think it's interesting you bring up St. Louis, Vegas in their first year, where you're not expected to do something, and what that gives you in terms of confidence or buy-in. It can't be a perfect science, because something just triggers and it only triggers for a select few. But there's something about the way that they were able to approach things, whether it was after Boston, whether it was down against Boston, whether it was being the underdog in a market like Toronto and playing a team like Toronto in the situation it was in at the time. There was something about the mentality that clicked that has become unstoppable, because it's not as easy as just looking at the roster or thinking, hey, Sergei Bobrovsky, or how clutch is Matthew Tkachuk? Like, something has worked beyond that, because this team is just like moving in lockstep to a point where it's like, I don't think you can recreate it just by snapping your fingers. Like, you look at the Leafs team and they look disjointed. They look like some guys are going and other guys are not going. With Florida, it just seems like, even though there are two standouts, everyone's doing their job and there's no letdown, and it's just over and over and over again repeatable. And when you do that, and it's the same thing, these challenges don't smack you around as much, because you're able to stay in your lane and just worry about yourself. And somehow along the way, they picked up that.
They picked up this consistency too.
And this belief in what they're doing. And maybe it's as simple as that, actually believing that what you're doing, even if you don't have results yet, is actually going to work. Maybe that's something that's held back the Leafs, where it's just like that uncertainty actually does creep into your game and ends up killing you.
I think the pressure too, like who put pressure on the Florida Panthers ever? They were never expected to beat the Bruins. Never. They were down so much in the series that people were already writing the next series script.
Never once feeling
pressure to beat the Leafs? No. Nope.
Feeling pressure?
Did they have
game five? No, probably not versus the Leafs.
No,
I don't know why you would have.
They could have. But now it's, why not us? And they've been saying that. Why not us? It's completely accurate. Why not you? At this point, all bets are off. Like, this, a team is going to win the Cup that probably not many people thought they would, right? So if it's you and Vegas in the end,
like, even Vegas, I'm not really convinced is all that great. If I had to just remove the context, look at the three teams remaining, I'd be like, Dallas is the best team.
Yeah, you're a big Dallas guy.
For sure. But they don't have that confidence. They're unraveling 2 minutes into their game. Their goaltender's been pulled, I think, four times. Like, they don't have what Vegas and Florida has shown so far. And that's not like uber talent. That's not like hits you over the head with what you have. Yep. It's Aiden Hill in net for Vegas.
Aiden Hill and Bobrovsky.
And it's a lesser lineup. If you, like, just call it what it is. This Florida Panthers team is not oozing with talent, but they got two key guys who are playing above any expected level that we could set out for them. and a team that just, to a man, does their job.
All right. We'll wrap up some Panthers talk because we'll have some series preview once maybe tonight it ends with the conference final on the West Coast. But I want to play Rod Brind'Amour.
his counter to Sheldon Keefe's respect in the handshake.
It could be up there. It's always tough. Like, I've never lost a Stanley Cup series and I've never been swept, but you got to come on the podium post game and say something, and it's going to resonate with your team all off season, and everyone's going to play this clip. This is Rod Brind'Amour being asked about the series as it ended last night.
You know, that's the unfortunate part of this is he's going to look back and everyone's going to say he got swept. And that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. I watched the game. I'm there. I'm cutting the game. We're in the game. That we didn't lose four games. We got beat, but it's, you know, we were right there, and this could have went the other way, and this could have been four games the other way.
That's tough. I get where he's going. They were all one goal games, and you got beat. You got goal lead, and you got beat by Matthew Tkachuk. But we didn't lose four games. We didn't get swept. I don't know. Just kind of.
Yeah, like, I don't want to, like, joke around about having a mental breakdown, but it seems like he's, like, fried. Like,
yeah,
at the end
just,
of it.
I don't know
at his wit's end. Like, can't even put sentences together, can't make sense of anything because you are so flummoxed by losing to a team that on paper and in practice doesn't look like it could hang with you. I think Carolina, though, I mean, my theory on Carolina, I don't think you were here to hear it, was that they're elite gatekeepers and that this might have set up perfectly for them because if you're elite, you beat them. If you're not elite, you don't beat them. It's really simple for Carolina. And I thought, looking around, start this series or to start this round, there are no elite teams left. So maybe it's Carolina's turn, even if they're not really, truly what I think or envision as a Stanley Cup contender. I just think they haven't addressed their issues and everyone will fall over themselves to be like, wow, what an organization, what a management team. Let's get Eric Tulsky to run the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it's like, yes, but you're missing something. You are also missing something. As much as the Leafs are missing something, you're also missing something. And Florida, despite their flaws, has something.
Yeah, I've always been perplexed by the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, they're always a fun team that people are like, they're going to do something this year. They're like the bunch of jerks. They've got something and then fizzled out here against Florida Panthers. But yeah, they did get swept. Whether Rod Brind'Amour believes
Let the
so
record
or not.
Show, they were swept.
They also, one last thing, touched the trophy, just quickly just grasped it. They hands all over that thing and skated off the ice with it. I'm all for it. Enough with this stupid curse. Don't touch the trophy. Mm-hmm. Just do what you want. Grab that thing and go party with it.
And
I don't care.
Matthew Tkachuk who grabbed
and he,
it.
And right away, he made a point to be like, I'm touching this thing.
Clearly, he's like led the charge here, and he's immensely important. But like, less than a year of being a part of this organization, and he just makes the decisions.
Yep,
no, we're touching it. We are touching.
They
it.
Score a game winner, and he skates. I love that. By the way, he skates right off the ice.
10.
Boom, Dan, we're out.
Yeah, he's really like, and we discussed this with Ryan O'Reilly. Like, how impactful can you be stepping into a different room? And Tkachuk's been there all year, and you started the season, training camp. You can assert yourself more. But maybe that's the personality, too. It's just like, no, I'm sort of taking control of everything here, even touching the trophy. Like, we're not going to talk about it. I'm just going to do it because that's who I am.
Yep. I want a little bit of Austin Matthews to do that. You know what I mean?
Touching trophies?
No. Well, but yeah, one day.
I can.
But this is my team. This is my game.
Yeah.
I'm putting the puck in the net. Oh, team, we're headed to the bus. Like, where's the grasp this game and be the leader type of mentality? I want to see
those
that.
Those are stupid examples, clearly. Like, the celebration, touching a trophy, stupid. But taking a hold of things, just being like, no, we're going to put our foot in the ground and we are doing this right. That's what we've seen through Tkachuk.
Yep.
And that's what Carolina, I think, is missing. And I think that's what the Toronto Maple Leafs are missing. And you can't measure it. It's unquantifiable. I don't know how. It's more of a just thing that's out there and you can latch onto it if you want to. But it seems real that this guy is just lugging a team to a Stanley Cup final. We are seeing it right now. He's lugging it. He is leading from the front. And we're seeing true leadership through Matthew Tkachuk in these playoffs.
All right. We got the Heat and Celtics as well tonight. So it could be a little Florida parlay. We're going to talk to Brendan Tobin. And he's part of the Panthers radio coverage. I believe that they have the rights to them. AM 560 WQAM. I love when you talk to American stations and they have like 73 letters in it. we're going to have him on at 7:30 to talk about how hot the state of Florida is right now. Yeah. Heat, Panthers, get a little...
Miami having a moment.
Yeah, Miami is having a moment. Tonight they could solidify their finals berth against the Celtics. They're up 3-1. That's an 8:30 p.m. tip. And then you have Vegas Golden Knights, of course, against the Stars. They could be closing that series out. That's 8 p.m. on Sportsnet, CBC, and Sportsnet Now. So we'll talk a little bit more Florida later in the show. Let's go to Jay's Rays. Okay. The excitement of a 20-1 win, the glamorizing, glorifying that I tried to spin yesterday, that if you
that
win.
That was a spin.
Oh, spin zone was big. If you win a game 20-1, you're going to roll that momentum into the next game and they'll be unstoppable. Unfortunately, they failed to do that. Mm-hmm. Kikuchi on the mound versus, I mean, what literally one of the best pitchers in baseball. I guess I could have just saw that as a stopping point. McClanahan, now the first pitcher to have 8 wins. He's 8-0 on the season and he's dialed. And you know why? That
pretty
team
good.
Is pretty good. But yeah, the Blue Jays unable to string together some momentum. They look for the split tonight. But Kikuchi, kind of the shine has maybe worn off a little bit of the Grapefruit League MVP.
Yeah, he couldn't recapture the magic in Florida. Unfortunately,
it
seems like we're regressing here, mm-hmm. if we're Yusei Kikuchi. We actually kind of know why he's regressing. Well, not, I guess, why, but how would be the proper way to put it. Because the sharpness in terms of his location, especially with the breaking ball, he's lost it. And if you're just putting those meatballs gliding over the plate against a team like the Tampa Bay Rays, they're going to take advantage. And it just seemed like from jump, they had no chance because Yusei was highly hittable. It was a highly hittable performance, which we saw too many of almost exclusively last year. And he cut back on earlier in the season in April. He was tough to hit because he was picking his spots really, really well, especially with the breaking pitches. But he's lost it. And now we're at the point, based on the last month, of, okay, are we going to see April or May mm-hmm. moving forward? I think more likely than not, we're going to see May moving forward because this is where we are trending. He is trending down, unfortunately. And that makes a couple pitchers who you're going to be worried about every single time they hit the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays, which is not a good place to be in, especially when you're in a place like the Trop.
So April stats, he started 5 games, went 4-0. His ERA was 3. May started 5 games, has a 6.29 ERA. Mm-hmm. Obviously significantly different. How about meet in the middle? How about find a nice middle point? You're this starter of this team, right? Even though we wanted to put him up real high in the rotation early on, if you can find a middle ground, if you say Kikuchi, that's kind of what you should expect from him. Is that not?
Yes, it would be okay. It would be okay if you mm-hmm. met in the middle there, but that's assuming he can still recapture some of April, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. If I were to bet, though, it would probably skew more towards May moving forward because that is he is your fifth starter. He's the guy you're just hoping can get through 5
like
and give you a chance to win.
A little bit. Like, I remember,
and he's done it before. Mm-hmm. He did it the year before he came over. Last year, he never had it. Now, and this may be a little bit quicker than it was the last season in Seattle, but we've seen this story before where he can lose his tools. He can lose his mm-hmm. sharpness, and it seems like it's already happened because May has been a disaster for Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah, he's allowed at least 3 runs in 4 of his 5 starts this month. Yeah, meet in the middle. We'll have Kevin Barker on also at 7 a.m. Wow, we get a little Kevin Barker action on the show lately. I love it. He brings good vibes. We'll have him at 7 to kind of run through that as well.
I know they don't get many fans, the Tampa Bay Rays, just in general.
Wait, what?
But I would be so happy to cheer for that team. Like, would you? That's what every time I watch them, I'd be like, man, I wish I could cheer for this team. Man, I wish this was my team. Their lineup yesterday. And this is a lineup, or this is a team, that lead or did lead mm-hmm. the league in home runs and stolen bases as of yesterday. Guess how much money their batting lineup cost yesterday?
Well, I know the answer because I've seen you write it multiple times in this doc.
There's a thing called acting.
$100 million.
Less.
Wow, how much?
Considerably less.
$50.
$20 million.
$20 million.
Last night's lineup, which was surely mm-hmm. better than the Blue Jays.
That's crazy.
Which has Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and George Springer and Bo Bichette. last night's lineup, which was lesser than, and it was for the Blue Jays too, mm-hmm. Ernie Clement and Nathan Lucas.
I'm going to get my Ernie Clement research going here.
I didn't think I'd see a game. I didn't know who Ernie Clement was entering this season.
That's the part of the problem,
isn't it? I didn't think I'd see him and Nathan Lucas mm-hmm. in the same starting lineup for the Blue Jays. But anyway, $20 million in the production that you're getting from $20 million. Like, how fun would it be to be a fan of the Tampa Bay Rays? It would be frustrating.
I think yesterday was their actual season-lowest attendance ever.
Which, yeah, it's...
Not a season-lowest attendance ever.
It's still, you look around and you're like, I thought you guys were improving on this. But anyway, the point stands. Who wants to be at the top? But it sucks when Randy Arozarena is inevitably mm-hmm. going to leave. But if you do that with everyone, which is something that might be happening with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. right now, the Blue Jays just might get everything they can, squeeze the lemon as much as possible to Vladdy, because they haven't shown a financial commitment yet. So maybe that's the plan there. That's what they do, though. They just bring up guys. They don't pay them much money. They're highly productive. They use it as a stage to make money, a platform to make money somewhere else. And that sucks if you fall in love with these guys and you really want to cheer for them forever. But man, is it effective. $20 million that lineup last night. George Springer, what? 25? What is it, 24?
Yes.
One George Springer, one Rays lineup.
Pick your poison. You know, they're doing something pretty special there, and it's not a new thing. And the way they find and develop is top-notch, right?
And it's the opposite of what the Jays do.
Exactly.
It's the exact
We just talked
opposite.
About Ernie Clement and Nathan Lucas, who are young pups.
Not even.
In terms of like their experience here with the Blue Jays,
yeah.
And the fact that we're learning about Ernie Clement in May, not really hearing much about him, is kind of signals the type of development that the Blue Jays are struggling with, right?
They rely to get talent on other teams. Mm-hmm. Look at their lineup.
So
George Springer, Matt Chapman.
Yeah, that's true.
Kevin Kiermaier, 4/5 of the starting rotation. A lot of members of the bullpen. They rely on other teams to develop talent, then they take them in and they pay them a lot of money.
They're going to have to do that with somebody, because Jimmy Garcia, untenable.
And I think the strategy is untenable, because you move to address one thing. Hey, we're going to bring in an eighth inning guy, Eric Swanson, mm-hmm. or who we believe can be an eighth inning guy, Eric Swanson. But our eighth inning guy of last year, who is going to be the seventh inning guy now, is now a pumpkin.
Yep.
So you still have the same problem. You addressed it by spending... You had to cash in a chip that could hit you 30 home runs in his sleep in order to get that guy. And then the other guy falters because he's reached the end of the line for himself. And then you've moved nowhere. You've made no progress. It's one step forward, one step back. If you rely exclusively on other teams, this is where you're going to be.
Yeah, they haven't put themselves in a good position. And now you have to add somebody to be an eighth inning guy. It was Jimmy Garcia's, I like the pumpkin analogy. You got Romano and Swanson that you can rely on to be in those roles, but that's not enough. Like, Jimmy Garcia can't be good every fifth start, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every fifth day.
And that's why I put like an importance on Nate Pearson, because like that's the one guy who
we didn't even know if Nate Pearson was going to play for the Blue Jays this year. He has been a happy circumstance that he's in here and he's developed and he's found a way to contribute to his team, but where's your confidence ranking that Nate Pearson can do that all season long? He has not been proven to do that. I hope for the kid's sake that he can do it. But I feel like we're playing with a little bit of house money right now with where Nate Pearson is. And I don't want to expect that he's going to take this team over the hump, right? You're going to need to add somebody as a safety buffer or someone that puts Nate Pearson in a position to continue to progress slowly. Like, I don't want to put too much on Nate Pearson yet, because track record is that he hasn't handled that quite well and he's had injury history and et cetera. So right now I'm happy with what Nate Pearson's brought. I don't know how pumped I am to start extending his roles, but if Jimmy Garcia is not able to contribute to this team, you're in a little bit of a conundrum.
And they didn't lose the game because of Jimmy Garcia, but it felt like it was lost.
Yeah.
When he gave up those two runs.
I think we're seeing the cracks. And post-game, Kevin Barker and Jeff Blair did a really great job at breaking that down as well. So we'll talk to him at 7. They're in their new weekday spots as well at 5 p.m., their pregame show ahead of every Jays game. So make sure you check that out. But big moment for Alek Manoah tonight. He has been given some big moments this season. Opening day, Yankees home opener, blah, 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 blah. Every game felt like a big moment for Alec Manoah. And tonight is another one. Like, you can get a series split against Tampa Bay Rays. You kind of need to keep this ball from stopping to roll down the hill. And he's got that 5.15 ERA. He's 1-4. He hasn't had an Alec Manoah boom statement game that we can be like, this is when his season began. And that can be tonight. So I don't want to say no pressure, but there's a big moment here today. 1 p.m. Yeah, 1 p.m. 1 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big game. Again, like falling behind as they have in the AL East, you'll just have to look at their divisional record to understand why. Mm-hmm. Like at some point, yeah, it's early, but can you keep losing these games?
No.
What, are they going to be back 10 games? I don't know. What this,
Nine and a half games back now.
If they lose this game, like it's massive.
Two games over 500.
Double digit deficit in the standings is with four teams that you have to overlap in order to win a division. Like, it's going to be tough. And Manoah's facing one of the few guys that Tampa actually chose to spend money on in Eflin tonight or today. So it's
1 p.m. I keep saying tonight.
When Tampa chooses to spend money, it's got my attention because they tend to be pretty, well, we know how they run their organization. But if they actually believe in someone, I'm going to believe in them.
Text in here. Litmus test. Another one early on in the season for Alec Manoah. Okay, so Blue Jays wrap up the four-game series against the Rays. 1 p.m., folks, on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590 fan, sportsnet.ca/590. Jays are 26-24, two games over 500. Rays, 36-15. Alec Manoah, Zach Eflin on the mound. And then Blue Jays head to Minnesota for a three-game set against the Twins starting on Friday, and then they're home. Go, Jays, go. We'll keep teeing that up later.
I love how you just have a tinge of positivity.
Oh, go, Jays, go. All right, we have a little bit more here in the top block. Elliot Friedman just keeps pumping out the content for us. 32 thoughts written, 32 thoughts podcast.
How many times a day do you think he gets that warning on his phone where it's too hot?
Always.
Like, it's just like a couple times a day. It's the only thing that slows him down is the heat warning.
They should have a phone case that's like a cooler.
Yeah.
And he just holds on to it.
He probably keeps it in a cooler.
Smart guy. All right, so we got some clips from Elliot dropping some nuggets on latest 32 Thoughts of Podcast. You can check that out, of course. They're putting out really good insight on everything, especially Leafs related. So we do have some updates on Kyle Dubas and the Pens and the Sens. And we'll play the clip here. Friedman's latest update on Dubas and where in the world is Kyle Dubas. We'll play that and we'll chat about it.
I don't know where Dubas has been. I've been given some tips. Nobody's confirming anything at this time. But there are some people who suspected he's met them in person. I don't know. I can't confirm that 100%. But they've definitely talked. He's their number one choice. You know, they're trying to give him a little bit of time to figure it out. You know, people say, oh, he'd rather wait for Ottawa. Wouldn't you rather do Ottawa? They're going up. Pittsburgh's treading water a bit. You know, the one thing about Ottawa is that I think some of these groups, and there's four final groups, I don't know if they've committed to people, but they've got people in mind. Now, if Kyle Dubas comes available and one of them gets the team, maybe they change their mind. Maybe they keep the group that's already there. But I don't know that it's a slam dunk that the winner of the Ottawa bid is going to go to Kyle Dubas.
That part's interesting because I felt like we said, oh, Dubas could probably pick and choose wherever he wants to go, right? Mm-hmm. And the Sens connection, Ottawa guy, they're looking for a new, maybe, a new voice, vibe. That whole city is kind
of... to change your life too much.
Yeah.
I mean, you're moving out of the city, but like still. You're still in Ontario.
And I would be more intrigued to go to Ottawa because they're doing something different. They're starting like a fresh, different vibe. They got a young
building
team.
Building a new rink. You'd be part of that. It's cool.
Like, they're on the rise. The Penguins are steady and tipping down on the decline, right?
Also a premium franchise in the NHL.
Yeah, no, there's certainly reasons why you'd be interested in the Penguins, but...
And he can dip his toes in Liverpool and
so it, but,
all
but
the
for
other
him not
entities
being
they have.
Maybe a lock in Ottawa. The Penguins say that he's their number one guy, giving him some time. I feel like by tomorrow we can get to a week here.
You think?
You don't think?
Friday is a pretty hot day for news.
They love to dump news at 5 p.m. on a Friday.
I don't know. I think he's definitely created a position for himself where he has time. Like, it seems like the Florida Panthers, the Pittsburgh Penguins have definitely showed their hand. They want him. They've held up everything that they've been doing, it seems, for Dubas. It seems like he get the world from them. And I see the attractiveness and the lure of that job, too. You get to actually do what you've done best, which is surround a core with talent. I think that's what Dubas has done best in his career. He's found good players from other teams and had them be productive for his team, especially in the regular season. So I think that's a good challenge for him. But also, it's only going to last so long, and he can start fresh and do it over with a new core in 2, 3, 4 years, which I think would be very exciting as well, to try and build from the ground up after you've had the Sidney Crosby seasons. I think that's all cool. But what's going on in Ottawa is cool, too. And I think he could be a couple years away from having a juggernaut in Ottawa if he plays his cards right. I think it's the best canvas for him to work with in terms of immediate success or prolonged success, if that makes the most sense. Like, you can't be great for too long if you're taking that Pittsburgh job, because a rebuild is ahead if it's 5 years from now or whatever it is. I think he's got two great options. I don't think he's going to overplay his hand like he may have done in Toronto. I think they're going to figure this out, and whichever life is better for him, he will choose, but I don't think he can really miss here. I guess if he turns down Pittsburgh and hopes for Ottawa, and then the new ownership's like, no, we're good. We got our guy. We got someone else. Then I guess
that's a big gamble.
He'd fumble the bag there. He's going to have to get some assurances, but I think the Pittsburgh thing is perfect for him.
Pittsburgh?
I do think it's perfect, yeah. Just the way they operate, I think it's him. It's like,
he's the apple that already fell from that tree. But do you know, we have said we don't really know who the real Kyle Dubas is, right? Like, we saw tidbits of him getting pumped up in the press box and wanting more control.
We do know he wants the power.
And so where are you getting the power, Justin?
I think they're giving it to him. I think they'll be like, oh.
Well, they got a lot of decisions they need to make there.
President of Hockey Operations, Kyle Dubas. And he'll be like, okay, then everything runs through me.
What, no GM and no President of Hockey Operations. So maybe they just make a little hybrid.
I think they got rid of their CEO, too. It might be.
He can be all three.
He could be
the Pittsburgh Penguins.
He'd definitely be the guy making decisions. And there was a report that he had, a little meeting with Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, I was going to just say that.
Sidney Crosby wants you.
So Pittsburgh Sports, reporting this. Elliot couldn't corroborate it, but reported that Dubas met with Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh on Tuesday night.
Like, that's kind of like, that's the closer, right? Like, if Sid comes in to a lunch or breakfast or whatever they're having, and he's like, I'd really like you to be here, I'd be like, yes, Sid, I'll be there.
Yeah, if Sidney Crosby ever wanted to speak to me,
right now,
I'd be in.
Exactly. Like, that's a power move.
I would say it'd be, if he went to Ottawa, we've been just like clamoring for the Battle of Ontario to get spicier. Well,
he can get his revenge easier.
There you go.
If revenge is something that's on his mind, he can get it.
Because you know that the Leafs are going to play the Sens sometime in the very first month. Oh, they're going to. Oh, aren't they going to Sweden together?
They may be.
They are playing both.
they're in the same hotel.
They're
as
playing
Dubas.
In Sweden, are they not this year?
We'll have to check.
Yeah, and then they'll just.
But like,
see each other
let
over
alone
there.
A regular season game or a game in Sweden, like if these two teams do what we expect them to do over the next 5 years, which is compete, right? Like, the Maple Leafs might be looking at a bit of a tricky future in the next 3, 4 years, but we expect them to both be good sooner than later, meeting in a playoff series. Dubas back at Scotiabank Arena in a different box, throwing water bottles, yelling at people. Like, that's...
The cameras will be on them.
It'll be spicy.
Good content for Sportsnet camera crew. All right. Let's take a break at the A-list, including Jimmy Butler and a little music. Maybe he can help us pick a new song for June. That's next.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
We were going through the playlist of top country bangers during the break, looking for something for June. So take your suggestions. I love a little Shania Twain, though.
We didn't settle on
anything.
We
had a couple good options, though.
We're saying that the problem with country is like they get to the lyrics so quickly.
There's no lead in. It's like, let's go, girls. Bah, bah, da, 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 da. And you're like, oh, give me like 20 more seconds, Shania.
Yeah, we need 20 seconds.
Anyway, Jimmy Butler teased us at the break. Might be a country guy at accidentally. So we got a clip here. This is resurfacing online of an interview where he's talking about, you know, the music situation in a locker room, and I've been in many. Aux-cord duty is extremely high praise and a very important role to play. But they kind of went a different route in previous teams where everyone just had their own headphones on. Jimmy Butler tells the story of how he accidentally became a country fan.
Before the game, everybody was listening to those, like the Beats by Dre at that point in time. They weren't wireless. They had a thick cord, and they were just, like, obnoxiously loud. And they wouldn't put them on their ear. They would, like, put them right here. So it was, like, Lil Wayne coming from one of my teammates, Young Jeezy, Wiz Khalifa. Why don't y'all turn that down? Like, what's the point of having on headphones if you're not going to have them on your head? And they were like, no, don't worry about it, man. Worry about what's coming out of your headphone. So I said, okay. After the game, I go home and I Google what's the most country song there is. And it's like three popped up. But the one that I saw first was Tim McGraw, Don't Take the Girl. And so I downloaded it and I go into the next game and I have my headphones like that. And that's what I'm blaring. And they were like, yo, no, you can't listen to that. Turn it down. And I said, no. You listen to what's in your headphone, I'm going to listen to what's in mine. And then I actually started to listen to the lyrics in the song, and I was like, wow.
There you go. He tried to play a prank on the squad, and little Tim McGraw hooked him, and now he's a country fan. He talks about it all the time. He just fallen in love with country accidentally.
What was that song, Tim McGraw song?
Don't Take the Girl.
I don't think I know that one.
Oh, it's...
I probably do, but I don't.
You just got to listen to lyrics like sense. Jimmy Butler.
Maybe it's an option
It'll
for June.
Itch its way into your heart.
Is it an option for June?
We should come back to that song and give it a go. I don't think it's an option for June.
Is Southern Girl a Tim McGraw song?
I don't think so. I'm looking it up. Anyway.
Putting you on the spot.
It is.
I don't know if Timmy McGraw will work, but we'll try
it out.
He's
just a bit subdued.
It is a little slow.
But yeah, Jimmy Butler's become a country guy accidentally. I feel like a lot of people have that where immediately they're like, oh, I don't like country because, you know, it's like too yeehaw for me. And then they fall in love with it.
Everyone's got a couple country songs they love. They might not be country fans, but a couple just work for them.
So we will take your favorite country songs. And later on in the show, we will give away some country tickets. Also, Jimmy Butler has been, we'll just keep the Jimmy Butler talk. Rumors that him and Shakira might have a little thing going on because they both followed each other one of the games, after she was sitting, I don't know if she was courtside, but she was close. Anyway, they both followed each other. So I don't know if that means that you're dating now in social media age, you follow someone and
Jimmy Butler's in that territory where he's like kind of the coolest guy. He's the coolest guy in the world. Like, remember those like beer commercials, the most interesting, like he's in that territory.
He's casually
lugging 8 seeds to NBA finals, mm-hmm. dating Shakira. He's just kind of, he's like brewing coffee for, like, he just does a lot of things that are like, damn, Jimmy.
Imagine him and Matthew Tkachuk leading their parade routes at the same time. Maybe they do a joint parade down in Florida if they both hoist their trophies in the next little while. We'll see. That'd be pretty fun content, those guys.
That would be interesting.
A guy that we know loves country. You can hear it in his voice. Kevin Barker. He's going to join us on the other side of the break. Let's ask if he has a suggestion for us for our new...
Well, he
probably had a walk-up song in this country. There's just no doubt.
We'll figure it out.
Kevin Barker next.